Marcy waited inside the ship, forcing herself, with effort, to remain calm. How did Waxillium do it? He and Wayne could be so relaxed, it seemed like they could take a nap in the middle of a firefight. Well, she stood her ground, or rather knelt it, and was rewarded. Through the hole in the ship's hull, she watched the wall of the warehouse where the rooms were. Irich soon hobbled out of one, then shuffled off toward some guards.
What was that he said?
He told them to send to Mr. Suit. You think he really stashed that device in the same place they're keeping the spike?
That's the hope.
Shall we?
Marcy nodded, then prepared herself for another nerve-wracking experience. Melan led, strolling down the planks and out into the open. Marcy followed, keeping her head high, as Melan had told her. She felt completely exposed, as if she were dancing naked in the middle of Ellendale's hub. They reached the bottom of the gangway, walking with excruciating slowness, and crossed the floor of the warehouse to the door. Was Marcy walking too stiffly? She couldn't check over her shoulder. Melan had warned her about that, but surely a quick glance wouldn't hurt anything.
Stay firm.
Melan tried the door, and blessedly, it opened. The two of them stepped through into an empty hallway, and Marcy shut the door. No shouts of alarm followed. She was positive one of the carpenters had glanced at them, but nobody had said a word.
Nice work.
I feel like I'm going to puke.
Must run in the family.
Melan led her along the hallway. It had bare wooden walls and smelled of sawdust, and a solitary electric light hung from the ceiling. Melan stopped at the simple door at the end, listened carefully, then tried the knob. This one was locked.
You can open it, like you did before?
Sure.
Melan knelt by the doorknob.
No problem. I'll try something more mundane first.
She cocked her head, and a set of picks sprouted from the skin of her forearm. She plucked them free and started working on the door.
Handy.
Pun intended?
That depends.
Marcy checked over her shoulder. The hallway was still empty.
How many times have you heard that joke?
I've been alive pushing 700 years now, kid. You'll have trouble finding jokes I haven't heard.
You know, I should really interview you sometime.
Melan cocked an eyebrow in her direction.
You, Chandra, have a unique perspective on society. You've seen trends, movements across large scales.
I suppose. What good does it do?
Statistics show that if we make subtle changes to our environment, the way we approach our legal system or employment rates, maybe even our city layout, we can positively influence the people living in that environment. Your head may hold the key to what those changes should be. You've seen society evolve, move. You've watched the shifting of peoples like the tides on a beach.
My thigh.
She nodded, standing up straight.
You're... what?
You said my head might hold the key.
Melan strode into the chamber beyond, a small, surprisingly well-furnished room.
It's actually my thigh, right now. Akandra stores its cognitive system through its entire body, but my memories, right now, are in a solid metal compartment in my thigh. It's safer that way. People aim for the head.
So what's in your head?
Eyes, sensory apparatus, emergency canteen.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Hands on hips, Melan scanned the room. Another door on the left led farther into the system of rooms built along the side of the warehouse, but there were no windows out to the main chamber, which was good. Though the room smelled of new sawdust, like the rest of the building, here that was mixed with a scent of wood polish and a faint odor of cigar smoke. Light from a small electric desk lamp revealed a tidy study with rows of books in a bookcase, two plush chairs with a maroon and yellow pattern in front of the desk, and several decorative plants that probably had to be rotated outside each day to keep from wilting. Marcy trailed through the room, noting its oddities. Every room had them. Marks of individuality, clues to the life of the occupant. The desk drawers had wide, exaggerated handles on them. The stand lamp in the corner had been bolted to the wooden floor, as had the chairs, likely to keep them in place should Irich stumble into them. Marcy was not familiar with the man's disease, but it appeared he liked his chambers to accommodate a little fumbling. Melan went straight for the bookcase, then began pulling books off.
It's always behind the books. People don't like to read, they like to be seen as someone who reads.
Melan?
Marcy pointed to the large safe in the corner.
Ah.
Melan strode to the safe.
This is going to be a little tougher. Can't crack something like this with a set of picks.
Can you manage it?
Patience. Bring over that lamp.
Marisie took it from the desk, stretching out the cord to its fullest and directing its light for Milan. Milan pressed her hand against the safe, ignoring the dial. Her fingers and palm went translucent, and then her flesh began to wiggle, squeezing into the joints, leaving behind crystalline bones held together with the barest of sinew. Marisie's mouth suddenly tasted bitter. She'd known Milan could do this, but watching it was something else. She busied herself propping the lamp on the arm of the desk chair to give Milan light, though the Chandra now knelt with eyes closed, so who knew if she needed it any longer. Marisie then started rummaging through the desk drawers to see if she could find anything important.
Harmony, send that Eirik goes back to the scientists after this, instead of returning here to catch up on paperwork.
The world back then wasn't all that different from the one now.
Marisie hesitated. Milan still knelt with her eyes closed, her strange bones exposed. The flesh had gone translucent all the way up to her elbow.
What do you mean?
People talk about that time, the time of the Lord Mistborn right after the Catacendra. They speak of it in hushed tones, as if it were some time of legends.
It was. The Counselor of Gods, Hammond, Aurean, Ladrian, they forged a new world.
Yeah, sure, but they also squabbled like children, and each one had their own vision of what this new world should be. Half the reason you're having troubles now was because they didn't care about settlements outside of Elendel. The originators were big city people through and through. You want trends? You want to know what I've seen? People are people. Hell, even Chandra act the same in our own way. Life then was like life now, only you have better street food.
Marisie pondered this, then turned back to the desk. She'd still want to interview some Chandra, but perhaps ones who were a little more reflective than Milan. In the desk, she found a notebook with some of Eirich's observations and sketches about the ship, written in a shaky scrawl, along with a map of the area. The more she discovered, the more certain she was that the Set hadn't built this vessel. They were studying it as much as repairing it. Marisie tucked the book into her purse.
See? Handy.
After that, she rose to check the other door out of the room. She wouldn't want to have some random carpenter wander in. She cracked it open and peeked into a completely dark room and was immediately hit with a pungent odor like that of the slums. Unwashed bodies, dirt, and grime. Frowning, she opened the door wider. The shaded illumination of the lamp, which faced the wrong way to give direct light, crept hesitantly into the room. Shadows stretched long from a few bare tables and a stack of boxes. And beyond them, were those cages? Yes. Perhaps 4 feet tall, with thick bars. The cages looked like the type you might use to contain a large animal. They were empty.
Milan?
Marisie glanced at the Chandra. She looked utterly absorbed by her task. Marisie inched into the room, wishing for another light. What did they keep in here? Guard dogs? She hadn't seen any of those at the perimeter. She stopped near one of the three large cages, bending over to see if she could determine what kind of animal had been kept in it. What she'd mistaken for a lump of blankets or pillows was moving. She glanced toward the desk in the other room where she'd set her rifle. Marisie jumped away, her back hitting against the stack of nearby boxes. Inside the cage, dim light reflected from a too flat face of red and black, dark pits of eyes. The pictures. Marisie had forgotten the pictures that R'hllor had left. Horrible faces of red and black with those deep, dark eyes. Images as if from a nightmare, drawn in frantic, scribbled strokes. The monsters were real, and there was one in the cage here, swathed in thick fur, face of polished red. It regarded her, silent, then reached out between the bars with a shockingly human hand.
Please,